the road to recovery. Some of the worst spats that Brenda and I have had come when we are driving in a strange city. She typically navigates and I drive, but there are times when we become hopelessly lost. We once visited Toronto, and one night we somehow missed a freeway exit that we needed to take to find our hotel. We ended up wandering around by a Woodbine racetrack, but we just could not find the road that we wanted. Much to my irritation, we had to stop and ask for directions.
I think
I'm not speaking on behalf of all men here, but I think it's pride.
Okay.
I don't want to admit that I'm lost.
It's
that's a surprise.
Pride. Someone has said yeah. Someone has said that if a woman were leading the Israelites out of Egypt, they would not have taken 40 years to find the promised land. That she would have stopped and asked for directions. Now, I think this pride is not just unique to men. I think it is unique to humanity. We all struggle with pride in one form or another. We want to say, oh, we're doing okay, we'll find our way. And so we live in denial, and we kind of downplay the struggle. We downplay this tension inside, and we downplay a lot of things. And it takes a big slice of bitter but nutritious humble pie to ask someone where we are and how we can find our way to where we need to go. It's difficult to do, but it's important that we do it. More than 1,900 years ago, a church had lost its way. Sardis, once the wealthy capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia in 600 BC, had become relatively insignificant. Now, even the church here took on Sardis's identity of having their best days behind them. It had been the first city in this part of the world that was converted by the preaching of the Apostle John. Some say it was the first that revolted from Christianity and was one of the first that was wiped out entirely. It's still in ruins without any church or ministry in what is now the country of Turkey. Jesus instructs the Apostle John. And let's look at the words of Jesus here in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Revelation 3, verses 1 to 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. Problem? What verse is that? Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you that you want to speak to us today. You want to continue your work of transformation in us. And we pray that you would speak to each one of us individually about where we are with you, whether we need encouragement, whether we need adjustments, whatever the need is, Lord. Would you use your word and by your Spirit speak to us and touch us and change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So just to clarify, verse 2 in the NIV does say, I have found your deeds unfinished, whereas other versions say, I have not found your deeds perfect. So it is saying the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just going, and I'm saying, as for I have found your deeds, and you kept saying, I have not found your deeds. I'm like, what do you mean? I have.
So New International Version says, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God.
For I have found your deeds unfinished.
Okay, you know what that is? I'm reading from the 1984 version of the New International Version. And there literally is different versions of the New International Version. Since 1984, they've updated it. So I have decided to stay with what I knew originally from 1984, I think it is. And so maybe what you're reading there would be an updated version of the New International Version. So it just is a different wording there, but the meaning is essentially the same. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can keep that in mind. And it probably will come up in other readings that we have together from the New International Version. We can find the road to recovery when we wake up. Wake up! In his words to the church in Sardis, Jesus reminds them that he holds the sevenfold Spirit of God. What does this mean, the sevenfold Spirit of God? Well, the number seven has a prominent place in the Bible, and in Hebrew it often denotes fullness or completion. So an abundant supply for life and godliness is found in the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual capacity of each of the seven churches addressed in Revelation 2 and 3 vary according to their faithfulness to the Lord. So what he's saying here is, I give you the complete and the full Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit that is necessary for you for life and godliness. All that you need is found in the Spirit. What is true of you and me individually is also true of a church. Use it or lose it. Maybe you've heard that before. It applies here. If we grieve or ignore the Holy Spirit, our spiritual capacity shrivels. We become like raisins. Our spirits start to dry up. If we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and through us, our capacity for more of the Holy Spirit increases. So the more we allow the Spirit to move in us and through us, we will find that our capacity to contain him and to flow with him increases accordingly. But if we don't use what he has given to us, then our capacity will decrease and shrink. The Holy Spirit would work through these stars or these messengers given to each of these seven churches. And the role of such a messenger is critical to the progress and growth of a church. Now, that isn't to say that the visionary elder is the only one through whom the Lord speaks. That's not what we're saying here. But for vision and direction, certainly leadership is important in a local church. And so he speaks to the leaders and the followers here in these local churches. God's word and directions are spoken to his people through his mouthpiece. Now, there's no mention in this letter of persecution or opposition from the outside. We know that these churches were living under pressure, and that in the Roman Empire there was a lot of hatred, animosity toward the church. And God's people were suffering persecution and opposition. There isn't a mention of that here within the church of Sardis. But the church's greatest enemy in the church in Sardis had become complacency, wrapped or clothed in luxurious living. Now, surely this principle applies today, because I think in Canada we face a lot of complacency. And if you don't want to know more about it, or you don't care about it, then there you go. There's just an example of it. Complacency right there and then. A lot of people don't know and they don't care. And they don't care that they don't know. And they don't know that they don't care. And this complacency has so gripped us, not just as citizens of Canada, but in the church, that the standard of living that we enjoy distracts us and calls us away from what is really important in life. What did the Lord want to say to the church in Sardis? He says, wake up. Wake up. Open your eyes to see what is really going on. You look good on the outside, but you are dying inside. This continues to be replayed and relived. People who look finely polished and clean on the outside, actually on the inside, their hearts and minds are a million miles from God. And unfortunately, this was true of the church in Sardis. If someone is struggling with an addiction, he can go to great lengths to cover it up so no one else will know. Typically, the first step to overcoming an addiction is recognizing that one has a problem. Until this time, efforts to help such a problem are in vain. If someone is struggling and they don't want help because they don't see their problem, then there's really very little that we can do. People have to get to the point where they realize that there is an issue here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 challenges us to face reality. 1 John 1, verse 8, John writes here, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The most devastation can be wrought through slow, gradual decline. Throughout history, all great empires that once ruled over significant parts of the earth but are now in ruins have one common quality, complacency from within. Typically, they just started to crumble at the foundation and eventually imploded. Typically, this happened well before or even instead of attacks and conquests from an enemy coming from without, from the outside. It was from within. Similarly, our problem as established followers of Jesus is that we can live for a long time simply on good morals and strong traditions. And the longer we walk with the Lord, the longer we are in the church, the better we can become at this. Because we have good habits, we can just go through the motions. No one notices that something isn't quite right. It can take a while before the cracks in our lives start to appear. And we and the people around us can live with the delusion that everything is just fine. Spiritual failures are not usually blowouts, like a tire that's picked up a nail, but they're usually slow leaks. Talk with people who have major spiritual and moral failures, and you'll soon realize that apathy, rationalization, and a series of small choices led to the big decision to sin in an obvious way. It was typically a series of small choices that led to what we would call the big sin. It was a slow leap. Are you awake? Good. When was the last time your conscience grabbed you by the ear? Has a Bible passage stopped you in your tracks lately, so you asked for forgiveness? Either from the Lord or from someone else. Are you paying attention to what people are saying to you? This feedback is at least worthy of our consideration. So we are to wake up. Are you awake?
Yes.
Good. Now, strengthen what remains. In most of the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus would begin by commending them for certain qualities. And we find this through many of the letters that were written in the New Testament, that the Lord has a way of building us up as well as bringing correction into our lives. And he has a loving way of doing this. He is gracious and truthful. When a sports team is on a winning streak, typically what happens when there is sports, when a sports team is on a winning streak, toward the end of the winning streak, they start to lose sight of the basics. And typically what happens is they're playing on confidence and momentum. And so they start to play worse and worse until they lose that one game that ends the winning streak. And strangely enough, after a great big long winning streak, teams can go on losing streaks. And you think, like, they can win 15 games in a row, and they think that they're going to win the championship, and next thing you know, they're on a losing streak of 5 to 10 games. It's such a weird thing. Yeah, it could be the Flames or the Oilers.
And sounds exactly like them.
It just is so weird that way. It's something like we lose sight of the basics. And when a team is on a losing skid, well, the coach usually has to call the players in and take them back to the basics. And they go back to the basic drills and the basic skills that they learned when they were much younger players. And then they have to start over again. Now, these spiritual basics for God's people include several different activities. Maybe you can name them. Prayer being one of them. Talking to and listening to the Lord. This is so basic. Bible reading. Filling your mind with the Word of God so that it trickles down from your eyeballs through your brain down into your heart and out through your hands and through your lips. Immersing ourselves in the Word of God. Fellowship. Getting together with God's people. Sharing in relationships with others who share our love for Jesus. And allowing others to speak into our lives. Giving. Investing your time, energy, and money in godly priorities. So when you boil it down, it's not actually rocket surgery or brain science. It's not that difficult. But why do we lose sight of these basics? These basic spiritual disciplines do not earn you any more approval from God. Now, let's keep that in mind, that we don't do these basics to win brownie points with God. That's not what it's about. It actually enlarges our capacity to receive from the Lord. So it's not about trying to please Him or impress Him. It's actually for our own good. It strengthens us in our inner being. Faithfulness in these positions you to grow in your ability to receive from the Lord. Now you also grow in how you can be used by Him in reaching out to others. And this is a very daily thing when we're walking with Him. We're growing gradually. Without the Holy Spirit living in you, these activities become dead, formal ritualism. They become tradition. They become religious activities. Unless it's really in the inside that we allow the Lord to work. With Him, however, these good habits can lead you to renewed strength, productivity, and fulfillment. These basics are important. And let's face it, they actually do us more good than anyone else to practice these basics. We can find the road to recovery when we wake up, strengthen what remains, and when we remember. When we remember. A widower asked his elderly girlfriend, "I seem to be getting a little forgetful. Did I ask you to marry me last night?" His elderly girlfriend replied, "Well, someone did, but I've forgotten who it was." There are some things that you should never forget. One of them is where you would be without Jesus Christ in your life. That we should stay close to the door through which we entered this relationship and remember that He is the source of everything that we need. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 and 9. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. He writes these words from prison. And he says, remember Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. Let's not lose sight of Christ's life, death, resurrection. Somehow we think that we become too sophisticated to be reminded of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. We become bored with the fundamentals of our faith, and we become enamored with more flashy distractions. I've been in the church long enough to see different fads come and go. People get fascinated with them for a while, and then they drift off and they find something else to capture their attention. Because inwardly, they have lost focus. They have lost this sense of who we are and why we're here. I've seen too many people get caught up in studies of the end times, spiritual gifts, pop psychology, other trends. You could go on and on, to the point that the basics of the gospel are overlooked. Remember, keep the main thing the main thing. We are here to love God, and through sharing that love with others, to bring just as many people as we possibly can with us to heaven. What could be more important than this pursuit? Knowing Jesus and making him known. We can find the road to recovery when we wake up, strengthen what remains, remember, and obey. Particularly when we're blitzed with so much information like we are today. Today we are exposed to way more information than previous generations have. Just think of what you have in your hand there. You have a library full of information. Libraries full of information that you could access at any moment, at any given time. And with that becomes many distractions on that thing that you're holding in your hand. We might hear a message or read a Bible passage or a good book, and we simply say to ourselves, wow, that's good. That's pretty cool. Then we go on our merry way unconvinced and unchanged. We are overloaded. Now, James 1, verses 22 to 25 takes Bible study to a higher level. Think about this, that we might think that Bible study is about filling our heads with information. And I'm telling you, if the North American church, if we should be the most mature part of the church on the planet, because we have so much at our fingertips in terms of information. But look at the words of James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So it's not just about knowing the Word of God. As helpful and as important as that is, it should result in doing the Word of God, living the Word of God. 2,000 years ago, some of the most knowledgeable people about the Word of God irritated Jesus to no end. Religious leaders who knew the Scriptures backward and forward, memorized large portions of Scripture. But were they living it? No. There lies the problem. I've heard people say many times, I just don't know what to do. Well, when they say that, what they often really mean is, I know what I should do, but I just don't want to do it. Avoid the danger of reading the Bible or coming to church meetings just to receive warm fuzzies or intellectual stimulation. There's a big difference between knowing what to do and doing what you know. We can find the road to recovery when we wake up, strengthen what remains, remember, obey, and repent. When we turn around, this letter to the church in Sardis is full of rebuke. Apparently, there was a positive short-term response since Melito, bishop of Sardis in the second century, was well known for his commitment to Jesus. Almost 2,000 years later, churches in Canada are a study in contrasts. Some are strong and healthy, while others are dying a slow and gradual death. When our family were, when we were in California years ago, we visited a church that was once a powerhouse. As we walked onto the church grounds, we had this sense that the church's best days were behind them. The building needed some maintenance, and the grass cried for attention. Only a fraction of the sanctuary space was being used for the Sunday morning meeting. I felt sad as I considered what division and decay had done to this once vibrant church. Sometimes the truth hurts. Jesus promised in John 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Why do we run from the truth? The very thing that we need to be set free. The truth of God's word, the truth of fellow believers who love Jesus and who love us, we run from it and thereby continue to live in bondage, enslaved by habits and values and a life that is a dead-end road. Stop kidding yourself and be painfully honest. Take a look at your life. Allow others to look at your life with you. When you read the Word of God, look at it as you're looking in a mirror and ask the Lord to speak to you and to touch you and change you and bring adjustments. Not just to stroke you and caress you and encourage you and help you feel comfortable, but to really challenge you. Then respond to the truth with heartfelt repentance. Know the truth and repent in light of the truth. Are your best days with the Lord ahead of you or behind you? They can be ahead of you if you get onto the road to recovery. We can find the road to recovery when we wake up, strengthen what remains, remember, obey, and repent. Moving forward with God begins by being painfully honest. Let's pause and pray. Lord, I think that sometimes we don't stop and ask for directions in life because we're proud and we're fearful of the truth. And we want to live in the delusion that everything is fine, that everything is perfect, nothing to see here, no changes necessary. Lord, would you, in your own loving, gracious, yet pointed, truthful way, bring the changes in us that are needed. We ask that you would search us and speak to us, that you would love on us and be patient with us, but be direct. Lord, don't let us stay where we are. Take us on from here. You have way more for us. And we want to go down this road with you because we trust you. We love you and we surrender to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.